Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program. Hey, I failed to mention that we're on Facebook and YouTube live. So if you want to watch the show, go to Facebook or YouTube and just type in Today's Issues. And we're here Monday through Friday, and we're live video streaming there. If you want to, we're also posting the stories that we're talking about on our Facebook page as well. Today's Issues on YouTube or Facebook. And you can get the podcast. How do they do that, Brent? I never podcast our show.
Just go to AFR.net, and they'll see at the top on the left-hand corner that podcast button they click on.
Okay.
And Today's Issues is there.
Okay, so do that.
Brent speaks.
So, Ed Battagliano is with us with Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Hey, real quickly again, we've got four seats that have come available for our Holy Land tour in March, March 14th to the 22nd. We had four people cancel, so a lot of people were disappointed that we filled up so quick. But if you want to go on this trip with us to Israel in March, you don't have to commit. But if you want to see the information to decide whether you want to go with us, again, I'm just letting you know we have four seats available. Go to the website, twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. All right, Steve, what's happening?
Boy, what's happening? Let's go. You guys talked about the rally here in Tupelo yesterday.
We have, and you were there, right?
I was.
In fact, you were on camera.
Yes, he was on national television.
I was watching from the comfort of my office.
Yes, you were.
And right behind the president, there was Steve Jordahl without a coat, freezing.
Because I'm from Colorado.
Yeah, it didn't bother him.
Didn't bother me.
But you were there.
I was there, and I brought back to our listeners on American Family News a little bit of the taste of what that felt like, and I'd like to share it with our listeners here so they can kind of get an idea of what it's you can't quite capture
a Trump rally.
Yeah, you can't quite capture a Trump rally just by watching it on TV. This was my feeble attempt at trying to convey this feeling. This is four.
President Trump came to Tupelo, Mississippi Monday night, home of American Family News, to help campaign for Senate candidate Cindy Hyde-Smith, who's in a runoff election on Tuesday. Thousands crammed into the barricaded airport tarmac and braved what was for them a brisk evening, lower 40s and a bracing wind. You don't see it on TV, and you'd be more likely to find a red MAGA hat at a Democrat rally than to hear this, but it began with a prayer.
We will work together to see America made great again and become what you have called her to be, one nation under God. In Jesus' name we pray, and in Jesus' name we believe, and everyone say,
amen.
God bless you.
The pledge and the national anthem, speeches by local, state, and congressional Mississippi Republicans, then to the Top Gun theme, the baby blue and white of Air Force One pulled up to the platform. The man is here, and he knows his audience.
The proud birthplace of the king of rock and roll, Elvis. Elvis! We love Elvis. I shouldn't say this. You'll say I'm very conceited because I'm not. But other than the blonde hair, when I was growing up, they said I looked like Elvis. You see?
Plenty of chants. The crowd was not in the mood to lock anyone up, as it so happened, but they were ready to extol their admiration for their president, builder Anthony Arnold.
He wasn't my number one choice when he went in, but he definitely, I think he's really doing a whole lot of good. I build houses, and I've got more work than I've had in 15 years.
Marshall Briscoe.
What's the best thing he's done so far?
I'd say the Supreme Court judges.
What's the one thing you'd like to see him do that he hasn't been able to do yet?
Build a wall.
Live at the Trump rally in Tupelo, Mississippi, I'm Steve Jordahl.
That was great. All Mississippi there, right?
Great job, Steve.
That was excellent job.
Yeah, great job. You did get a feel for the event. And, of course, he went on to Biloxi last night for another rally, did the president, and he's been doing these rallies all over the country. He's amazingly the stamina, the 71-year-old guy who lives off Big Macs and 4 hours sleep. I don't know where he gets. I don't know. I mean, anyway, it's just amazing.
That's, I think that's just genetics.
Huh? It's genetic. It has
you can't,
to be.
You can't get that out of a vitamin bottle.
No.
And he doesn't drink or smoke or anything. So he kind of, I mean, I don't, I that's doubt true. He does a whole lot of working out. But
that's true.
But he does have that going for him. I had a friend of mine who knew I was going to go to the rally last night text me and said, is he as charismatic as everybody says he is? Because that doesn't quite come across on TV. My answer was absolutely. You just felt it when he walked onto the stage, when he got off the plane.
Yeah.
He just oozes charisma.
Yeah.
It's
well,
amazing.
He always says he had a look, he had a show on network TV for 10 years. That was the number one show in most years, called The Apprentice. So he does have a electric personality that you know, shows up for most people, and that's just people are just gifted that way. A lot of people have that.
And I'll tell you.
Not a lot of people have that. A few people have that.
And I'll say this, too. The response of large crowds, there's a kind of like a feedback loop in there as well. So he's loved by people. That's why thousands come out to these rallies. He is charismatic, and then they respond, and he responds to them.
Yeah, and he's hated by people, too.
Yes.
For the very things that he says, which draws him to people. Let me just say one other thing. This just goes to show you, this is one example of what the president has to deal with every day, that he's talking about fake news and how the left-wing media. Okay, you heard that remark he made. He said, when I was younger, aside from the blonde hair, people said I looked like Elvis. Right? That's what he said.
Yeah.
He said, you'll think I'm conceited by saying this, and I'm not. And people chuckle because, you know, that's his persona in the public, that he's very egotistical. And I'm not saying he doesn't have an ego, but...
He's self-aware.
But how many politicians don't, people?
Right.
Our celebrities don't
have
an ego.
Yes, I want to lead the greatest nation in the world, and I want to lead it to greatness.
Right.
Every politician who runs for president thinks that. That is,
they all have egos. Some of them express it differently. But my point is, he made that little, that was an off-cuff, off-script remark that lasted about 30 seconds about him saying, when I was younger, people said I looked like Elvis except for the blonde hair. I think he said something about that. That's a compliment or whatever like that. Okay. Then I was perusing the news last night on the internet, and I don't know if it was off Drudge or one of these big news sites. The news story was circulating. Donald Trump compares himself to Elvis. Okay. You see how this goes?
Yeah.
Okay. So they made it appear like he spent 30 minutes talking about how great he is. He's greater than Elvis. Of course, Elvis Presley was born in Tupelo, Mississippi. That's the whole point of the reference. But it was a 30-second little funny.
It was a throwaway line.
It was a throwaway line, and they sent a whole article on Trump compares himself to Elvis.
And I'll bet MSNBC and CNN, they probably have their panelists, and they're probably all nitpicking that and saying, "Oh, he thinks he's Elvis. I've heard Elvis. He's no Elvis."
Right. That's how they.
I knew Elvis. You're no Elvis.
You're no Elvis.
That's how they do.
Yeah.
It's the same way with the picture of the woman and the two children. They take that and they ask him. They ask him, "Do you feel good tear gassing women and children, President?"
Yes.
They put the microphone in front of his face. Okay. That's so unfair.
Right.
It's so unfair, but they do it intentionally because they want to manipulate the masses against the president. Now, I'll grant you, sometimes he doesn't help himself, often, but other times he does with his responses.
I have a feeling that more often than not, he must sit back in the cabin of Air Force One or his desk at the White House or wherever and laugh at the way he is throwing around and manipulating the media. He throws them into a tizzy with a throwaway line, like I was compared to Elvis. And he's got to be sitting there just, I mean, I know he expresses anger at them, and he probably is kind of angry at them sometimes, but I think he knows, he's very, very self-aware.
Listen, I've also experienced what the president has experienced. When I was in high school, I was told that I looked like Chachi on Happy Days.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
yes.
I experienced the same kind of, and I mentioned it one time, And people people mocked and vilified me. I understand exactly what he's going
through. Wait a minute. You were in high school in the when was it? That the
70s? 70s? No, that was the 70s. Yes, I was in high school. See, the same kind of mockery right there.
Fred, Ed, the same thing happened with you, akin to what
I thought you were older.
And you know, as I was on the other end of that. I got the Timmy Lassie jokes.
Oh,
Of course, my name's Tim, but the Timmy and Lassie back in the day. So I got a lot of the Tiny Tim. Hey, you're
haters,
like Tiny Tim.
Haters gonna hate.
Yeah.
You know?
So what do you do?
Well, and then also I was looking here on Fox News.
Yeah.
First Lady Melania Trump unveiled the White House's Christmas decor yesterday, and all the critics coming out of the woodwork and criticizing her choice. And so it's the hatred towards Melania Trump is because of their hatred of they really do in the media. The fake media.
You know what happened there?
Hate Donald Trump.
What happened though here? And then we'll get to some other news, but just what happened here? Donald Trump upset the globalist, socialist, progressive march to world dominance. Maybe not to Western dominance anyway. Not to world dominance necessarily. By that I mean, listen. Donald Trump had the whole he had the Clinton machine against him. He had the whole Democratic Party, all Hollywood, all the news media.
Much of the Republican establishment.
Much of the Republican establishment against him, lined up against him. China, the globalist, the people who, you know, who are for basically the New World Order or world governance in ways. And the
globalist,
the which would include the the environmentalists, the global warming folks. I mean, you talk about the people who didn't want to see trade deals changed.
Right.
You talk about the forces aligned against you, with not to mention just the map of the USA, which has California, New York, and Illinois being blue states without the Democrats even having to spend a penny to work for it.
Right.
The Democrats go to sleep on presidential election night knowing they've got those states locked up.
Right.
So I'm just saying that the odds that he had to defeat to be in the presidency were in just I'm not meaning to spiritualize this too much, take it how you want to, but it was a miraculous victory.
Right.
Okay, so it really was. So when all these people that I just mentioned who were aligned against President Trump had to come to the realization that he had won the election, then they went from being stunned to being angry beyond control.
Because they thought they were going to have 8 years of Barack Obama followed by 8 years of Hillary Clinton. They were thinking, we win.
They squashed the Republican Party and conservatism in America.
Right.
They were on the verge of doing that, and it didn't happen.
Them as relevant nationally as they are in California is what they wanted to do.
And they thought they were going to get that. And when, quote unquote, don't get me wrong, folks, in their minds, when a buffoon won, beat them, upended their plans, that's why the hatred.
The hatred. They got livid.
Yes.
And, of course, Donald Trump is not one to avoid a fight.
Right.
So he started fighting back with them.
It
makes them even more. They're like hornets.
Yes. You better not swat one.
You swat the hornets, and the hornets start, and then President Trump, he'll go back and swat the hornet's nest again. You know, so, or yes, if the hornets come after him, he starts swatting back at them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the way it works. All right, Steve Jordahl, what else you got?
I
feel some sarcasm.
No, it's a disappointing story. I'll just tell you about it. There is a divorce custody battle going on.
This is a serious story?
It's a serious story, yeah.
Okay, I just want to set the...
Yeah, I'm...
Okay, go ahead.
This shows where we are at with the transgender battle and the sexuality in this country. There's a divorce going on between a man and his wife, and they have a six-year-old son named James. James is when he stays with his mom, she provides him with female clothes and calls him Luna. And says
how
that he's transgender.
Is this child?
Six.
Six.
When he stays with his dad calls him James, the number that he was given. And
is he a man? Is he a boy or a girl?
He's a boy.
And
he's all boy.
And so it's a divorce situation?
Yes.
So the mother claims that James wants to be a girl?
Yes.
And when James is with his dad, he doesn't.
No. He's given a choice, in fact. His dad gives him a choice. Do you want girl clothes or boy clothes? He chooses boy clothes every time. And the mom is using this in the divorce. She has charged the father with child abuse for not affirming James as transgender, has sought a restraining order against him, and is seeking to terminate his parental rights. In addition, she wants him to pay for transgender-affirming therapy and medical alterations.
At 6 years old?
Well, the medical alterations could start at 8.
Where is this story out of?
Out of Texas.
Well.
And so.
Everybody's messed up here.
Boy.
Story.
And the boy is going to be is more messed up than anything if he doesn't get rescued from this
situation. So both parents are encouraging this?
No.
No, the dad is.
The dad is. I don't know the story, whether he just doesn't want to make a scene in front of his son over his ex-wife or what, but the dad is at least allowing him a choice. The mom doesn't.
That's what
doesn't.
I'm saying. That's still messed
that
up.
That is still messed up.
Yeah.
But it's not as messed up as this mom, apparently.
The mom is insisting.
Yeah.
And everything. So
what, that he be a girl?
That he is has gender dysphoria and needs all these therapies.
Yeah. Poor kid.
Huh. I mean, how does a kid like you look at your kid and you go, the kid doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah. You don't. God is good.
Wow.
God is great. He can
yes.
overcome anything. But this.
Well, that's
is,
what I meant, Steve. But you know,
this is the.
In terms of it to me, it, obviously, but it's the difference between growing up in a normal way and then having to ask God help me get over the bizarre things that happened in my childhood. This almost sounds like, without trying to, this may be unfair, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it sounds like the mom is so angry at her ex-husband, for whatever the reasons may be, that she doesn't want her son to be male.
It might be that. Here's what I can tell you. This boy will do anything to please his warring parents. To please his parents that don't love each other. He probably thinks at six that if I'm the cause of their separation, if I'm good, if I play the part that they want me to play, maybe they'll get back together. I don't know. But when he's with his mom, he dutifully complies with her pushing him into this transgender lifestyle. It's tragic.
That's child abuse is what it is.
It is.
Especially on the mother's part. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net is our email address. Check that out. You're listening to AFR. Tim, Ed, and Steve. Hey, let's talk about this Mars trip for just a minute.
Yeah.
Did y'all see this? NASA sent
kind of a rover kind of thing, right?
But it's not.
It doesn't move. It's going to drill down.
Yeah.
And
what I want to know is what kind of superhuman mind our minds can put together a trip to Mars from a spacecraft that leaves Earth. And I would like to have been in on that first meeting, you know, over lunch. Hey, can we have a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
Bill, I'd like to talk to you about something.
An idea I have.
Yeah, I got this idea, Bill, about, you know, Sam and I have been talking, and we think maybe we can send a craft to
The math is unbelievably complex. Did you see the movie not too long ago about the women that were the first women engineers in the NASA space program?
Did not.
It's a fantastic movie.
What's the name of it?
I'll have to look that up.
Hidden people?
Hidden figures.
Hidden figures.
Yeah. Hidden figures.
You know what? My sister-in-law gave me a copy of that to watch. I just have never watched it. Is it good?
It's a very good movie. Let me just say, since I'm on AFA, I tend to tune out.
You can't endorse the movie.
I can't endorse the movie from AFA.
Because you don't remember cursing and things like that.
Right. Maybe. I don't think it had any. I definitely okay. didn't have any sexual stuff in it. But it was a story of these three black women who wanted to be engineers. They were working as mathematicians, and they were responsible for figuring out, this one of the women became responsible for figuring out how to put the Atlas rocket into a trajectory that it had never gone before. The math behind what you're talking about, landing a rover on Mars, is so complex.
It is, on average, I'm looking this up now, the distance from Earth to Mars, on average, because the orbits shift
right.
some, 140 million miles away. 140 million miles. So
how do you get there? How did they get there?
They slingshot around other planets. They do a trajectory. They calculate the motions of the planets around the sun, and they shoot it off. It'll slingshot around the moon, and then it'll maybe go.
Because Mars doesn't just sit in one place.
No.
We got to remember, it's constantly moving.
Relative to Earth.
So you've got to send this out, like you said, on a trajectory that you've got to. It's like leading a receiver downfield.
Like a superhuman Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I may be able to help, with the first planet or two.
Yeah,
but,
right.
I'm not going to be able to help after that, in terms of how to
and
get there.
This is coming from somebody who said
right.
algebra is never
right.
going
right.
to be
well,
useful.
Well, I think algebra and advanced math are magic.
They are. They're the closest thing to it.
That's what I believe.
You know what's even more amazing? 3 million miles, you said, average?
No, average, 140 million.
140 million miles. That, I think, if I recall correctly, is 2 to 3 minutes at the speed of light. The transmission going back and forth, commands you might have to give the space capsule or pictures.
So it takes 2 to 3 minutes to get a message?
Right. It takes 7 minutes to get light from the sun to the Earth. I think it's 3 minutes or so to get information from Earth. So you have to coordinate this thing.
That's incredible.
I saw a diagram. There were maybe 8 different operations that had to happen in sequential order at exactly the right moment for this thing to land, which is why
it did land.
This is why they called it the 7 minutes of terror. They said it's going to take 7 minutes before they knew. Well, when it landed, and they
is
knew.
It coming back to, or is it there?
No.
Is it?
No.
So it's there just to to me, it was. How do you How do you transmit an image from Mars?
Well,
how many miles?
Well, on average, 140 million miles. It's probably...
You have to have a very good cell phone provider.
They probably figured... There's a tower.
That was
tower
good.
On
that
Mars.
That was good by Steve right there, wasn't it?
I'm sure they figured this so that it was at one of its closest distances. That's how
right.
they figured it.
And they calculate
it.
Back to when they'd
but
have
it's
to launch.
But it's going to analyze... It's a lab.
The soil.
It's
yeah.
going to analyze and send back the information,
soil
too.
And the composition of the rock beneath the... they're going to drill down and look for signs of life.
If it's soil, I don't know, whatever it is, they're on Mars.
They're going to find to see if there's frozen water. And,
yeah.
It really is amazing.
Pterodactyls.
Bigfoot. Might find Bigfoot there. You never know. Huh?
They're going to look for civilizations underground.
Right.
That's really where the Martians have been
Oh,
living.
Is that right? They've been
I
hiding
knew
out there?
It.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Steve with OneNewsNow.com. Ed, thank you for your contribution.
Absolutely.
Today.
Glad to be here.
And our thanks to Fred and Brent. Brent Freely ran the controls for us today.
And produces the program.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day. Keep listening to AFR.